All right, Michael, it's really great to have you on the phone here. I really appreciate you taking the time out to talk to me about the things we're going to talk about today. Appreciate that.
No problem, Josh. Glad to be here.
So I'm getting on the horn here because you're a badass at a lot of things, but one thing in particular that I... Yes.
This is true.
This is true.
Yes,
I've read about this. You have many leather-bound books.
Oh, yes, many leather-bound books about how badass I am at so many different things. Yes.
And your office smells of rich mahogany.
Exactly, yes.
So besides that, though, I know that you have got a few... you've authored several books, and you've been on the Rachel Ray Show.
They're not books, they're systems. Josh.
Systems. You've authored several systems. And you've been on the Rachel Ray Show and lots of other media that you've done as well.
Rick Ray, Man Cow. I was interviewed by Time Magazine, and then unfortunately my quote got cut the day before it went to press.
That's a son of a bitch, isn't it?
I agree. Yeah, the writer actually called me up and apologized and was like,
"Oh wow, I've never heard anyone doing that before."
Well, you know, it was a good quote, and her editor kind of took it off right beforehand. So
I got interviewed by the Times twice, New York Times, and same thing happened. They published the article, and the last time they published the article, it was about dating coaches, and it ranks like number two on Google for dating coaches for the past 10 years. It's they skipped me out because they left my friend Weigand in. You know David Weigand? He's a friend of ours.
David, yeah.
They left his in, and he saw like a ton of like publicity boost because of it. But whatever, c'est la vie. Anyway, but you've done a lot of media. We're not going to bitch about it. Media.
Been all around, world famous. Strangely enough, I am a romance expert, especially around texting and how to use text messages and multimedia social media to bring massive sex and romance back into your relationship, or to use text messaging to seduce the man or woman of your choice so they feel like they got hit by the love truck.
Basically. That sounds nice.
It's pretty cool. Yeah, it's fun. Rehearsed. It's fun.
The question I had for you right there, actually, that brings something to my mind. You had, you teach guys and girls both how to do this. Obviously, there's a big difference between men and women. What's the major difference that you see, like the problem that most women run into versus the problem that most men run into when it comes to texting?
Well, it's really interesting. So men, my original product that I created for this around this concept was called Text Your Wife Into Bed.
Which is
great. Yes, it's a great title. And even though it says wife in it, guys who are single who are listening, yes, it works extraordinarily well with single girls. The way I developed that program was back when I was single, I was never really great at picking up girls at bars. I was never really great at game per se. I'm not what I would consider a pickup artist. Mm-hmm. But what I was really good at was once I got a girl's phone number, seducing her faster and more effectively than anybody else could. And that was done 100% through text message. So I would get a woman's number and I would start sending her dirty messages very, very quickly. And it would go from text to sex in shockingly little time. And would usually have women kind of pouncing on me by the time we actually spent some time together. But Text Your Wife Into Bed was really around the idea of using text messages to get laid, essentially. And I kind of created Text Your Wife Into Bed for guys who had been in a relationship for a while and were like, where did the love go? Where did the romance go? Why haven't I gotten a blowjob in 3 years?
Right.
And it turns out it applies, across a bunch of other things, too. I've had several hundred women buy that product and say it did really wonderful things for them. My favorite being a 19-year-old woman in England who said she uses it to get all the blokes going crazy in London, which I thought was extraordinarily cute. She was cute too. She sent me a picture of herself with her cell phone, like a naked picture, and I was like, "Oh, that's so nice of you." I appreciate it.
I'm sure it's fantastic.
The main difference is just like understanding where the people are coming from when you're getting started. I have something called the Three Magic Texts, which is a report I give away for my Text the Romance Back program. And many times women will go on my Facebook wall and say, "Hey, I used your three magic texts. I couldn't believe what happened. I sent these three tiny little messages, and my husband or my boyfriend or this guy I'm seeing went to this really dirty, raunchy place really, really quickly, and blah, blah, blah," going on from there. And I say, "Well, yeah, of course, because guys do that.
Waiting for that.
We're waiting for that." But women fundamentally don't. It's really strange to me. Like, women don't understand that. Mm-hmm. Right? Women assume that men think like women, and men assume that women think like men. And this is where all of the problems of the sexes come from.
Right.
Right? I in one of my programs for women, I talk about how men are like dogs and you're a bad owner. And mm-hmm. it all comes down to how women assume that men are as emotionally complex and vicious as women are. Mm-hmm. And they kind of go off in these weird tangents from there. But that's the main difference is just that women... they don't know how easy it really can be. When you want to go to the sexting thing, when you want to go to the romance thing, I sell women romance. I sell them the concept of sex, the romance back, as opposed to kind of going for the more sexual type stuff, because that's what they think they want. And then as they kind of go through it, they discover that it gets really kind of carnal and dirty and interesting. Mm-hmm. For men, when I teach them, text your wife into bed, it's much more around the idea of waking up a woman's libido. Mm-hmm. Right, and it's much more around the idea of, while women do have, you know, Josh, you know this as well as anyone does, women have extraordinarily high sex drives, especially mm-hmm. as they get a little bit older. You know, a woman gets into her 30s, 35, 40, she's essentially a 14-year-old boy with a hard-on all the time mm-hmm. walking around. But she doesn't know it. Mm-hmm. It's the weird sort of thing. So as guys, we're very, very aware of our libido at any given time. We walk down the street. You know, you and I were in New York together last week. We're walking down. There's beautiful women everywhere. And you're just like, oh, my God, beautiful women. And you think dirty thoughts around them. For women, while they have these deep desires, they need to be led to water a little bit. They need mm-hmm. to be woken up a little bit. And so what I tell guys to do through text messaging is to essentially start introducing these dirtier concepts into a woman's mind. I always say that texting is a lot like digital telepathy. Mm-hmm. It's the closest thing we have to being able to crawl inside a woman's mind and tickle her primary sex organ, the only sex organ that matters, her mind.
Right.
Right. And so by sending particular messages, especially when she's at work or when she's at the supermarket or when
she can't consummate those messages, basically.
When she can't consummate that message, when mm-hmm. she can't touch you, when she can't touch herself. Mm-hmm. Right? It's extraordinarily erotic. It becomes a real game for a woman. It becomes digital foreplay for a woman. Right. And if you're a guy who can understand how to use language to turn on a woman's mind, which is what text your wife into bed and even text the romance back are all about, she'll love you forever. You know, right. She'll be like, hey, finally a guy who's not just trying to dive into my pants right away, but is actually engaging me in some way. And the great thing is, of course, if you do it right, when you finally do get alone in a room with her, she'll dive into your pants instead.
Right, exactly. So essentially, you know, I know most guys, I'd say, myself included, really, getting into this, I had to learn how to appreciate foreplay.
Oh, yeah.
Because in the beginning, I just really didn't care. It was shit that was in my way, you know? Mm-hmm.
So, as Quentin Tarantino says, I want to get my dick wet.
Yeah. Right, so. I'm pretty sure he wasn't the first person to say that.
Well, probably not. The first time I heard it was in one of his movies. So.
Right. Well, ultimately, I think that is, I mean, you know, as carnal and as, you know, I don't know, misogynistic as that might sound to some mm-hmm. people, that's just our desires, you know,
yeah.
that's just what we want. Now, do we act on that? No, of course, we don't always act on that. But the reason why we don't is because we just don't think anyone would go for it. That's mm-hmm. that's the truth. So if you mm-hmm. can sort of set her up so that when you do meet her, she's ready to just go straight to sex with you. It can be all the more exciting for you, and she gets exactly what she needs, you get exactly what you need, and sort of you don't ever cross these wires that short circuit the attraction and make her feel like something's wrong, you know, mm-hmm. which can be really, I mean, women are extremely sensitive around this. If some one little thing is off, they can sense it immediately and they start to lose this attraction. Either that or it's really difficult for them to say, you know, for them to come, for them to get wet at all.
Well, I would say, like, for women, in one of my videos where I talk about this program, I talk about the three things you need to give a woman in order to have her really give into her sex drive, mm-hmm. right? And basically, it's around the idea of making her feel sexy, because most women don't, by the
right.
way. Most
mm-hmm.
women don't feel – the most beautiful women in the world don't really feel that attractive most of the time.
Yeah.
And it's around kind of communicating with her in a deeper level, and it's really around giving her permission, as I say in the video, to be your slut,
right,
giving her permission where she feels like she can give into her carnal desires without being judged for it in a negative way,
mm-hmm.
right, being appreciated as a sexual creature. All women want to be lusted after. All women want to be desired. but they don't want to be necessarily used, right? A lot of guys make the mistake of they when they look at a woman, they take something from her. They're like, I'm staring at your ass, and therefore I'm taking something from you, as opposed to saying, like, yeah, you've got a beautiful ass. Thank you so much. And going along with it in a powerful way. And I find that with texting, you can really engage her and kind of it takes the barriers down in a really powerful way. There's actually a study that came out a few months ago that showed that women who were texting with a man they were dating were likely to sleep with him much more quickly than women who don't. It's true, and it creates this level of intimacy. It creates this private conversation that you're having with a woman, where you can do and say anything, where you can, as a guy, can create a fantasy world for her, right? Where she can have, you know, that kind of Fabio romance novel kind of thing going on, and you can kind of get it all out of the way in a really fun way while you're texting back and forth, so that when you finally get together, you can just go. One of the things I tell single guys who talk to me. Is around the idea of establishing a sexual context with a woman very, very early in the relationship. Right. And by relationship, I mean friendship or whatever you want to call it, right? From the moment you get a woman's number, you should be establishing a sexual connotation to that relationship, a flirtatious relationship. The biggest mistake guys make is they're just like, they write texts to women that are things like, yo, or what up? or anything a frat boy would say, right? I call those nothing texts, because they don't do or say anything. They're simply just like, hey, and you're putting all the work on her at that point, right? Which is the worst possible thing.
Right. It's the difference between, you know, there's been lots and lots of advice out there about this exact topic, so I won't go into detail, but the importance of getting her number versus giving her your number.
If you
give her, I mean, any salesman knows the same thing too. If you say, hey, you know, here's my card, give me a call, you have about 10% chance of closing that deal, versus if you go, let me get your number and I'll give you a buzz, it jumps to maybe 50 or 60%.
Or let me give you a number, and would it be better if I call you on Tuesday or Wednesday?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So the options, to get the options there.
Exactly. You know?
So this is, and actually this has been discovered mostly by people who are into psychology for a specific goal, and then realized after they had studied for that goal, say for its sales, for example, that it actually applied to other things.
Yeah.
Things that are more important than money, like women, you know, for example. And a lot of the sort of system that I had adhered to and that I created was actually developed by a lot of guys who studied for ages, you know, hundreds of years. Guys been studying these techniques for sales, and they work. They just work, plain and simple, you know. And, you know, I just think that that's really, if it works, it's been working for that long, it's going to work in the future. We just need to know how to adapt it to a new medium, which is why I think what you're doing is so awesome.
And a new goal. I mean, largely everything I do is just based around using language, psychology, persuasion, salesmanship, marketing for the fun of seducing a woman or a man. You know, I sell stuff to women as well, and they really enjoy it, and it goes well from there. But talking to your audience, the fun of seducing women. Women want to be seduced. I think the word seduction gets a really bad rap.
Yeah, it's got an undertone of manipulation, which also gets a bad rap.
Exactly, yes. But it's like, well, who doesn't want to be seduced? I love being seduced. My girlfriend or other women I've been with have pulled out the stops to seduce me. I've been like, this is freaking awesome. This is so great. Right. There's nothing wrong with seducing a woman, with making a woman feel appreciated, desired, lusted after, right? One of the biggest things I talk about a lot when I talk about this topic is male sexual shame, right? And how the fact that a lot of guys feel ashamed of their desire and their sexuality, because, you know, we're guys talking here. We know guys are perverts. Pretty much all of us are perverts. We've all got that little section of ourselves that just wants to be the total alpha male who sleeps with as many women as we possibly can and has women worshiping our cocks and blah, 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 right? Well, that's not really a big deal if you don't make it a big deal.
Right.
I think the mistake guys make oftentimes is they look at a woman who they want to sleep with, who they want to possess, they want to do dirty things to, and they're like, oh, if she knew what was going on in my mind, she wouldn't like me.
Right.
She'd be scared of me. As opposed to looking at a woman and saying, you inspire this desire in me. Right.
You know, that's very close to, it echoes, there's no surprise here, but it echoes a lot of the very, in my opinion, very intelligent guys that I know that have studied this for a very long period of time. One comes to mind, and that's Adam Gilad.
Oh yeah, Adam. Yeah, great guy.
You know, brilliant guy when it comes to this as well. Very interested in the inspiration aspect and teaches a lot, very deeply into the inspiration aspect. And actually, you and he are very, very similar in a lot of ways.
I'm taller.
You are taller than him, and that's the only difference.
And I'm like 12 years younger. So
well, that's yeah, good. But besides that, but ultimately, though, you two are very similar in a lot of ways. And one thing that actually that brings up a point for me, Adam is brilliant at just wordsmithing.
Yeah.
I mean, he's really, really good at it. And so are you. And my question for you is, you know, for the guys out here like me who aren't really that good at wordsmithing, what do we do? How do we get better at it? Or do we need to be better at it? Can we just use techniques that you've taught or you teach or the systems that you've developed and not need to, you know, not need to basically learn how to speak the English language all over again?
One thing I like to say is emulate before you innovate, right? Emulate before you innovate. I use that in some other stuff I do too. And it's like, you know, I create programs. I have Text Your Wife Into Bed, Text the Romance Back. We have a new one called Text Your Ex Back coming out, which is going to be fantastic. And in those programs, I really give guys pretty much exactly what to say.
Right.
Do I give you 500 pages of cross-referenced manuals of the exact things for every situation? No.
Right.
What I do give you is a formula that I know works, that's very easily adaptable, and I give you the language to use, and I give you examples of what to say. And when you and what happens over and over again is guys take this stuff and they start using it, and the smart ones start using it, and then at a certain point they internalize it, and they just start simply doing it automatically.
Right.
They start understanding the power of a word like imagination or imagine, right? The power of a word like feel. They start understanding the power of a detail. Like, you know, there's a big difference between telling a woman over text message something along the lines of, you know, the bad version would be, I can't stop thinking about how fucking hot you are, .. which is fine, right? Or versus, I can't stop thinking about the slope of your neck, that little bit right above your shoulder, how you taste when I run my tongue along your skin there, how your hips push back against me, that shudder that goes through your entire body. You feel this heat building up inside you as you feel my hands come along your hips, my teeth against your neck, my cock pressing against your ass. I bend you over against the table, flip your skirt up, et cetera, right?
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
Exactly. I think I just turned Josh on. I always feel weird doing interviews with guys.
I know, dude. I know. I was just thinking about, just imagining, like, as you're saying this, imagining guys listening to this interview and going, should I turn this off?
It's like, I think I have a hard on now.
Okay, because you're imagining you are Chris, not you're her. Yes. That's why it's okay. That's how we rationalize that.
Exactly. That's how we kind of do it from there. But the idea is that just to like to take control and to give detail.
Right.
And the main thing I can tell anybody about texting, this is the thing that made, you know, me, Michael Fiore, so successful with texting. This is what had me sleeping with many women before I met my girlfriend and having a great time. It's actually how I got my girlfriend, who is fantastic. I don't think Josh has met her yet.
I haven't. No, but you did show me pictures.
I did show you pictures.
And she's adorable. Uber cute.
And really fun and just an awesome girl is the idea of taking control of the narrative, right? Mm-hmm. We all have a story that's going through our head at all the times. We all have a story about what our life is like at any given time. And women are just like this too. The story of how my day is going to go and what I'm going to do. And the main thing, when I was doing that little narrative there, you may have noticed, I went from talking about her physical reaction to an internal reaction.
Right.
Right, and it's pretty subtle. It's that difference between your hips push back against me, you feel this heat building up in your stomach, this amazing energy flowing throughout your entire body. Right, and it becomes this internal thing where you're narrating. I'm not narrating what I'm doing. I'm not narrating what I'm feeling. But that can be powerful.
Right.
Narrating what a woman does to you and giving her that power can be very, very effective. But you're narrating her reaction.
Right.
You're narrating what's happening to her, and it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. You know, if you show that you can take control with a woman, if you show that you can, and not in a misogynistic way, but just in a really fun, dominant, positive way, you can say, "Hey, you know what? I'm the kind of guy who, when you go home with me, when you have sex with me, when you do this with me, you can relax and you can go along with it, and you're going to feel incredible pleasure and just kind of, you know, great things happen along the way." But it's really all about just taking control and narrating her experience, being intelligent to do that.
You know, Michael, I think that one of the big questions I have, you know, because this is such a foreign thing to most people. I mean, it sounds to me as if you've done a lot of study outside of what you teach. I mean, just and it sounds like you've trained yourself just to almost naturally think and talk like this now. You know, as it just comes out of your mouth, like you just start speaking, and it's sort of Michael language, you know.
You train your subconscious, essentially.
Right, exactly. And so, you know, it's very powerful to hear an example of that, you know, on this call, definitely, because I think it can illuminate for not just me, but for a lot of guys who are listening when it's right, what it sounds like. But they're really, like, I've studied a lot of the same stuff that you have, because I can pick up on some of it. Some of it, though, that you do is just, I mean, I can see it, and I'm putting pieces together as you're saying it, and I'm learning as you're saying it. So I'm sort of picking out what it is that you're actually doing as you're doing it. And I don't think guys really know how many, like, deep-rooted psychological, attraction and seduction triggers are in just the short statement you made earlier, you know?
And
there are so many of them, and they're all so super powerful. Do you sort of go into briefly go into sort of, I know you mentioned for a moment there the going from an external experience to an internal experience, and then narrating and how that transition was really fluid. That's really advanced stuff. But I know that you can,
advanced stuff, and it's easy to do. It's the difference between, like, I don't spend a lot of time in any of my programs going into the theory.
Right.
I have theories on all of this stuff. If you actually saw my notes or got into a long conversation at a bar with me about why different things I do work, I could give you reams and reams and reams on exactly why certain words cause a pattern interrupt in a woman's mind, which causes this, blah, 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 right? Mm-hmm. Or exactly why in Text the Romance Back, when guys go through it and women go through it, we've sold thousands and thousands of that product because, you know, it was on TV and it does very, very well for us. Mm-hmm. People are like, "Oh, this seems so simple." Very, very rarely somebody will refund that program. They'll ask for their money back. They'll say it wasn't for me, which is okay. We offer a 60-day refund.
Right.
If a small number of people take it. And they'll say, "Oh, this all seems like common sense and it seems so simple." And I'm like, "You're totally not getting it."
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. You're totally missing it. How hard it is to come up with something that seems so simple.
Right.
Right. And then later on, I'll talk to these people. I'll email them. I'll say, "Well, how's it going?" It's like, "Well, you know, I tried doing my own stuff and it didn't work."
Right.
And they think, like, I have things called sensual compliment texts, right, in Text the Romance Back. And those are around the idea of complimenting somebody on their body in a way. And they're like, "Oh, well, you know, I tried texting my wife and telling her she had a nice ass and it didn't really go anywhere." And I'm like, "You're not getting it." Mm-hmm. Right? You're looking at the surface level, which is, I do say in the program, you want to compliment the physical aspect of somebody, but you're not really doing the important part, which is reflecting on what that physical aspect of that person does to you.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. God, I love your ass. I'm sitting in my office right now, and all I can think about is how incredibly gorgeous your ass is. Mm-hmm. It's totally different than I love your ass.
Right,
right, right. It's the effect that it's having on somebody. And the biggest thing that I tell anybody in any of this material is just it's about self-esteem, right? Which sounds cheesy, but it's extraordinarily powerful. Most women have extraordinarily slow self-esteem.
Right.
Right? And if you can build that up in a way. I have another program called Oral Fixation, which is all about blowjobs.
Right.
And
I saw that. And that was about basically how to get a woman that you're dating or even that you're seeing to give you tons of blowjobs.
And really, really enjoy it.
And enjoy them, right? Yeah.
And that's really, really enjoy it.
Very interesting, because I've never heard anyone talk about that. And I'm sure if I don't talk about that with you right now, I'm going to get like 100 emails of guys. So why don't you go into that a little bit now, because that's fascinating. I've never heard anyone talk about that yet.
So the program is called Oral Fixation, Why She Hates Giving You Head and How to Get Her to Love It. One of my titles that I wanted to do was called On Her Knees and Loving It, but it just seemed a little too misogynistic for me. But I still think it's a great title, right? But that's okay.
Oh, yeah, that's fantastic.
And that program really came from conversations I was having with women. For whatever reason, I've gotten to a place in my life, especially when I hit my 30s, where I could talk to women about pretty much anything. Doing it. Right?
Hey, Michael, yeah. Sorry about that, man. I'm sorry to cut you off for about 20 seconds there. It seems like, you know, our call dropped.
Oh, skipped out a little bit.
Yeah, that's okay. If you could swing back again, it sounds it's like,
yeah, we'll
it's
go
so
back
funny.
Over.
It's like, let
we'll
me tell you over. How I do it, blank.
And so, all you have to do is buy the program to hear
it. Yeah, exactly. Like, put your name and email.
Anyway, the program basically came from me talking to women about blowjobs. And right. I know a lot of women who really, really enjoy. If you get them in the right situation where they don't think anybody else can hear them, mm-hmm. we'll talk about how much they love giving a blowjob. Mm-hmm. And of course, all guys love getting blowjobs mm-hmm. in some way. And it's not because of the physical sensation. We love getting blowjobs because of the power aspect of it and
right.
the worship aspect of it. Right. Mm-hmm. When I talk to women in some of my programs, I talk to them about the power of worshiping your man. Mm-hmm. And as soon as they internalize that, they're like, wow, life got so much better.
Right.
It's pretty amazing.
Imagine that.
Because it's not misogynistic. It's like, it's just you're worshiping your partner. I worship my partner all the time, right? Mm-hmm. Going from there. But oral fixation is really just all around the idea of what was it about blowjobs that causes so many women to seem to hate giving them? And why is it that some guys seem to get head all the time while others don't?
Right.
And here's the weird thing. It's actually not that there are some women who love giving head and others who don't.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the women. Pretty much any woman, and granted, there are going to be some exceptions, right?
Mm-hmm.
Women who have been abused, things like that, it's a whole other issue. But it's not the women that are the factor. It's the guy. It's that there are some guys that know how to make giving head or something fun for a woman.
Right.
Right? Because women, like I said, we talk about self-esteem. We talk about how most women have very low self-esteem. And I believe most women have really low blowjob self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And one of the biggest reasons I discovered when I surveyed women, talked to women, did all these interviews that became part of the product, was that most women really don't think they're very good at it. And most guys who have kind of trained them around blowjobs for years and years did an awful job of making a woman, giving her proper feedback. Mm-hmm. In a way that made her feel like, oh, wow, I'm really good at this. He's enjoying this. Let's build it up from here and make it something fun. And every woman I talked to who used to hate giving head but then learned to love it had that one guy they would talk about, that one guy they met or dated or fucked
mm-hmm.
who made her feel like an absolute queen when she was going down on him.
Right. Because right? that's the guy that all those women will compare you to forever.
Exactly.
You know, even
yes.
if you're not with somebody for a long period of time, mm-hmm. and you are this man to her, she will compare yep. every man after you to you as not being, you know, not being good enough, basically.
Yep.
And that's
yep.
like it's ultimate power as a man.
It totally is. And most guys are like, oh, I know how to get a blowjob. I just sit there. I'm like, no, it's the worst possible thing.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, or like, you know, I talk about this in one of my videos about how like a lot of guys, they learn how to get a blowjob by watching porn.
Right.
Right. And it's like, I'm sorry, that's not realistic.
Right.
Like, I shouldn't have to tell you guys this, but like, the best way to ever get a real porn quality blowjob is to really realize those aren't normal.
Right. Well, like, it takes a while to figure that out. I think that after about 3 or 4 times of being disappointed with different people.
Yes.
You'll find
yes.
out eventually that this
yes.
is a skill
you're
set
like,
that most people don't have.
Most women can't do it on the first day unless you have a really tiny dick, right? And it kind of goes on from there. But it was really interesting. One of the products, actually one of my favorite things I've ever done, just because I got into these really deep conversations about what blowjobs mean, what they are, why they're important.
Right.
And then just laid out a program for exactly what to do to repair the damage that's been done to most women around oral sex. Right. And I do. And there's some stuff in there that's really basic. Like, you know, some guys are like, well, I don't want to go down on her, but I want her to go down on me. I'm like, well, fuck you.
Right. Well, then fine. Like, then.
Yeah, fine. You don't get a blowjob then. Sorry. It's like, get over yourself. But there really is a technique. There's really a system. There's a step-by-step kind of thing around what you do with a woman to build up this idea of oral sex really being fun for her. And I'm lucky. I mean, the culture that I live in and run in, a lot of the women I deal with are very sexually positive and sexually open and have kind of moved past a lot of their baggage. But I know that a lot of guys out there who are listening to this, they're dealing with women who maybe are a little bit younger and haven't discovered themselves yet, or have a lot of hang-ups. Maybe they're religious, maybe they're ethical or political or whatever else it's going to be that hold them back from really enjoying sex the way sex is meant to be enjoyed. And the oral fixation program, one guy actually wrote me, and it was an amazing realization. He's like, wow, Michael, I figured out that if I use the exact same technique you told me to use for blowjobs, I can get my girlfriend to do pretty much anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, you figured that out, did you?
Yeah. Well, then you're going to want to buy all the rest of my products about this.
Yeah, exactly. I haven't done a lot of other ones, because they really would be essentially the same step-by-step kind of formula.
Right.
But again, it's all about, like, with anything like this, it's all about looking into the deeper aspects of it and looking into the a blowjob is more than just a blowjob. When I talk to women about it, I say it's not just a blowjob. It's not just a misogynistic thing. It's not just whatever else. It's a man feeling powerful,
mm-hmm.
right? And a woman having the power of being submissive in that way, you know,
right.
It's like, just like a man being submissive to a woman can be very, very sexual and very, very powerful as well. Different
right.
times.
Yeah. I think that there's a lot of stigma around the idea of submission and subservience, dominance
mm-hmm.
versus domineering,
mm-hmm.
being domineering. And I think that one of the ways that I was able to sort of grow beyond that is to sort of step back for a second and look at a truly submissive person.
Yeah.
The person who is submissive is the person who has the power. Now, it might sound mm-hmm. kind of contrary mm-hmm. to most people, but if we think about it for a second, the dominant person is pleasing the submissive person.
Mm-hmm.
If a submissive person is not pleased, then the dominant person becomes domineering, submissive person becomes subservient, and then you have a completely terrible terrible interaction, essentially. Terrible.
You've got a really bad relationship at that
yeah,
point.
Yeah, exactly. And it'll probably be a very short-lived one.
Yes,
You know, that's sort of what there are a lot of cultures that still would appreciate that over this sort of give and take and understanding the person who's dominant, to realize that you're actually not the one in control can be very mm-hmm. scary. But
oh,
it's
yes.
better that way. I mean, you don't want to be dominant and powerful and in control of everything at the same time. You're like a conductor, then you're doing everything, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's a shitload of work. You'll be working when you have sex. You know, so this is a really important thing. It's okay to let her be submissive, because she actually is in control whenever she's submissive.
And it's actually like one of the bonuses I give away with text your wife into bed is called the waterfall effect,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's a hypnotic story, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And I've used it with quite a few women and have had amazing results with it, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically just a metaphor about her being on a river floating, mm-hmm. and she's in a boat. And in that boat, she has no oars, she has no motor, she has no sail. She's simply in this boat, and she's simply in this boat, lying in this boat, doing nothing, floating down the river with the current. She can feel the boat underneath her, etc. And she sees this waterfall. She can hear the waterfall, and the waterfall's 100 yards away, 200 yards away, 50 yards away. And you start building it up closer and closer, and of course, the waterfall is the orgasm. The waterfall is going to feel fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But you're giving her permission to not have power.
Right.
With that story. What makes that work when you're with a woman? I've used that story with, and I'll whisper this in a very deep voice while I'm fucking a girl, actually,
mm-hmm.
which can be extraordinarily powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And you're bringing her through this entire thing and basically giving her permission to not have to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Right? To say you couldn't do anything even if you wanted to. And you know, because you've been over this waterfall before, you're going to be totally safe on the other side. And you know that you're in this boat and the boat is a strong boat and you're totally safe in this boat. But you also know you can't do anything but simply lay there, and it's going to feel so good because you've been over this waterfall before. You know how good it's going to feel, and you get closer and closer and closer. And every time I've used that, even with women who said they weren't orgasmic,
mm-hmm.
as soon as we get to the waterfall, what happens?
Right.
There's a lot of power in not having to be in charge
mm-hmm.
at any given time. I remember the first time I had sex with a woman who was kind of kinkily submissive,
mm-hmm.
right? And she literally said, "You can do anything you want to me," and it gave me a heart attack.
all of these fantasies. I can do all of them.
There wasn't, no, it wasn't even that. It was the responsibility.
Right.
Right, of being like, I have to be in charge. She's giving me complete control over what's going to happen in the next couple hours. Right. And we had a really fun time, but it was a really, being submissive is actually easier.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Right? And you're kind of in charge at that point. You always have veto power. You always have the ability to go away. I think, like, and you know, this is a whole other topic, but I think guys have a really hard time giving up control sometimes, but if you can do it, amazing things can kind of happen.
Right. And I think that the sort of the point here that we're both driving home is that giving up power or control in a situation, as long as you are actively giving up that control, you're choosing to do it and you're still in control. That's what I think a lot of guys get scared of that. They get scared that they're going to give it up and then all of a sudden they're going to be, you know, the sort of like a little bitch. Like she's going to go, all right, take it up the ass. And you'd be like, no, I don't want that, you know?
Oh, my God. No. You can always say no, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And it's the choice of not making a choice.
Right, exactly, exactly. And especially this is very powerful for a lot of women.
If you're a guy who runs a business, and women too, especially women these days, it's really hard to be a woman. This shouldn't be big news for anybody, right? But women have it harder than we do, I think, right? Mm-hmm. They have to, like, the expectations of beauty and sexuality and responsibility that women have far outstrip what guys have to go through. And a lot of women, when they really just want a guy who can make the decision for them and take them, right? Mm-hmm. A woman wants, read a romance novel, guys. If you haven't read a romance novel ever before, read a romance novel. As I like to say, romance novels are, for women, what porn is for guys, right? Full on. It's all about the fantasy. For women, for guys, often the fantasy is, I'm going to have sex with multiple women at the same time.
Two chicks at the same time.
Exactly. Biggest one in the world, right? Yeah. Or, you know, depending on where guys go. For women, it's all about just having a guy who is dominant but not creepy.
Right.
Right? Dominant but not creepy, as in he can take control, but he's not going to abuse her. He's not going to make her feel bad about herself. He's not going to call her names. He's just going to be a guy who's just going to have a really, really good time with her and adore her for it afterwards and give her permission to be a slut, permission to give up her power for a while.
Right.
Right.
And your texting product that you have for text your wife in the bed, you know, going over, I think that it's important that guys know how long it can actually take, like how short of a time it can actually be.
Oh, yeah, golly, yeah.
You know, so you meet a girl for the first time. Let's say that it's not your wife. Let's say that it's some, you know, you use the concepts that are the same concepts you wrote in your book, but you use it for a woman you just met. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just sort of elaborate a little bit on the actual amount of texts, like how many texts back and forth before you can actually see a result where she starts to get turned on, even if you've never mentioned sex whatsoever to her, just to kind of reveal
if
that.
If you do it right, it's about four or five, you know? It's like, it doesn't take long for her to cue into what you're doing, right? Now, if it's a girl who is not in any way attracted to you, it's going to be a different game, right? But if it's a girl who you met her, you got her. I mean, if you got her number, there was hopefully something there.
Right. Well, that's what – it's my job to teach these guys how to do that part anyway.
Yes, exactly. There should have been something there. You can – I mean, for me and for the guys that I've taught who were single on this kind of thing, oftentimes they would go from getting a woman's number to sex within a few days if you do it right, right?
And not even having to meet up with her – In between.
No. Oh, golly, no. I mean, it's a great way to have sex on the first date.
Right.
Right. Is to get a girl's number. And like, I remember, you know, I'm sitting at my office now. I remember really fun times when I would, you know, get a girl's number. Maybe we'd make out a little bit that night. And then for whatever reason, couldn't go anywhere further. And I'd get her cell phone number and I'd be sitting here and just teasing the hell out of her all day long. And then saying, you know, then we finally get together. It's just like she shows up wearing a raincoat and nothing else.
Yeah.
Right. Because she's ready to go. Because she knows that she's going to be safe. She knows that we're going to have fun together. Mm-hmm. She knows that I'm not going to take something from her, but I'm going to give her something.
Right.
And that we're going to have a really, really awesome, fun time. I used to say when I was single and was picking up girls and things like that, what made me successful at bringing women home, and it wasn't like, for me, it wasn't like a numbers thing. It was just I really like women, right?
Right.
Was that I knew that any woman that went home with me was going to have a really, really good time.
Right.
Right. And I think that's an inner game thing that all guys need to internalize if you're out there playing the field or even if you're with a woman long term. Mm-hmm. If you can get that
especially.
yourself. Yeah.
Especially if you're living long term.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. To have that confidence in yourself to say, yeah, I'm good in bed. You know, if you come home, not in like a, yeah, I'm a great man, my blah, blah, but like, yeah, I know if any woman that goes home with me is going to have a really, really good time. Mm-hmm. Once you get that confidence, the things you can do are amazing.
You know, I think that for me, that really came when I knew enough to be able to relax in bed.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That was really hard for me for a long time. And I think I'm like a lot of guys where I'm not like some crazy, big, strong dude, or I'm not like...
Josh is about 4 feet tall, and he has this giant goiter. And
the goiter is most of my weight, really.
He has a penis that actually looks exactly like Woody from Toy Story. It's very strange.
I had to sculpt that, though.
Josh is a good-looking dude, but yeah, no, that's okay.
I don't stand out. If I go into a bar and I'm, you know, by myself and I walk in, if I don't open my mouth, no one will have any idea I was there at all night long. So I had to learn this stuff piece by piece. Are you there? Sorry.
Yeah, lost you there for a second.
Okay. So part of me learning this piece by piece, which is what I had to do, mm-hmm. was me sort of going around and realizing that it's not just one area that I need to master. And this was huge for me. This is sort of the center point of why I made the Tao of Badass in the first place, because I believe, really, that if you want to be truly good with women, you can't just try to be good at one thing. You have to be a badass all around at everything. And absolutely texting... like you were saying, making a woman feel like just amazing in bed. These are really, really important. If you don't have these down, you're going to self-sabotage when you're out, because you'll know that when she gets back, she's not going to have a good time. She's going to laugh at you later, you know, things like that.
As opposed to what happened with me, which was I would get referrals.
Right, exactly.
Pretty awesome. Let me tell you, my ego was really happy about that.
When that started happening to me, it was whenever I was already polyamorous.
Yeah,
and so. I had, I was dating several women, and so I would get, women would feel open around me. Like I was not, again, like I wasn't judging them. And so many guys feel that they judge women based on the idea that, well, I know that if she leaves and, if she comes with me and she hangs out with me and then she leaves, she's going to be with somebody else. Right.
Yep.
But everything shifted for me when I changed that belief to one specific thing. There was one major shift in my belief process here and what happens and what I thought when a woman left. And that was, it shifted from, oh man, what if she finds somebody better, to she will never find someone better than me. Mm-hmm. She's going to be comparing men to me for the rest of her life. And whenever I started thinking that, and when I truly believed that, I didn't believe it until I really had the knowledge. And it was really just enough of me to like talk to someone like you, Michael, and just be like, you know, what do you do? What should I do, basically? Just shut the fuck up and listened, you know, and then did that stuff, you know, really did it. Like you're saying, it scares the shit out of me to think about, you know, talking to someone while I'm having sex and like telling your story. Mm-hmm. You know, like that's scary to people. And to me, I totally understand that being scary. But
as soon as you start doing it, amazing things happen.
It's like, it, you know, the only, it's just like a lot of stuff that I teach to guys who come back and say it doesn't work. I'm like, you did not do it, because it works. It's scary. I know it's scary, but just do it and show me, you know, I know it works.
Same thing. People come back to me and say, oh, this is too simple. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, have you tried it?
Right.
You're not doing what I say. If you do what I say, I promise you'll get results, as opposed to questioning it the entire time.
Right. Absolutely.
But I think it's like, you know, the way to be great with women is to be great at being a man. Mm-hmm. Right. And to just be like, to be confident in yourself, to think of yourself as a sexual being, to think of yourself as a powerful, desirable person, a man. And that doesn't mean being egotistical. That doesn't mean being arrogant. That just means being, having worked on yourself enough and knowing yourself enough and being aware of, you know, like Josh, you know, you're never going to be 9 feet tall.
Right.
Big freaking deal.
Not since the accident. Right?
I'm never going to have hair. I'm going to be bald for the rest of my life.
I'm heading there too. You know that.
Yeah,
Michael.
Exactly. You're a few years younger than me, but it's just like, it's okay. And once you're kind of okay with yourself, women pick up on that, right? Once you have that playfulness and that sexuality and that seeing, like being unashamed of your desires, being unashamed of, there's nothing wrong with wanting to fuck girls.
Right.
right? And it seems so obvious, but so many guys are like, oh God, I can't let her know. No, it's okay. I've walked up to a woman I barely know with her boyfriends 10 feet away and have said, listen, you got a boyfriend. And if you didn't, here's exactly what I would do to you. But I'm not going to. What's your name?
You're an evil person.
I'm an evil person.
You wouldn't do that to your friends, though, right?
No, I would never do that.
Right?
You do have a very attractive girlfriend.
Thank you. Yes,
she's a very beautiful woman.
I am very happy with her.
Yeah, she's really fun too. Really.
And I would kill for her, Michael.
I would kill. But I think the main thing I'm just trying to teach is like the idea of being calm in your sexuality, right, and not that impressed by it, and not beholden to it.
Right.
Right. And once you kind of see it as an aspect of who you are, but not an overriding aspect of who you are, it's not in control of you. Mm-hmm. Right. Then you can just say, well, yeah, of course. Yeah. You look at a girl's and like, oh, here's what I feel. That's great.
Right.
Does that mean anything about her? No, it just means that you like the way she looks. You like the shape of her body.
Yeah, it's about
you. The way she moves. Yeah. It's about your particular. It's kind of like I rant on this a lot about the idea of giving up a compliment. Mm-hmm. Right, and a lot of people are afraid of giving compliments. Even more are afraid of taking compliments.
Right,
right. And I do this all the time with people. I'll walk up to somebody and give them a compliment, and they freak out.
Right,
right. You tell somebody, or if I say, "Wow, Josh, you're a really," I mean, not you, you're because you're self, but like, yeah, Josh, you're a really, you know, handsome, intelligent, really interesting guy, and like, you'd be like, "Well, thank you." Most people would be like,
"Well, no, I'm not like that," you know. I totally shoot it down, or you know, absolutely,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. I think that.
But the proper way to respond is to say thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I actually had to learn how to do that. I had mm-hmm. to. I took mm-hmm. that and said, "This is something I screwed up with in the past. Let me mm-hmm. just say thank." And if I couldn't even say thank you in the beginning, I just had to say thank you for saying that.
Oh yeah, yeah. Because that's like a second level like dodge right there.
Exactly. So I had to say that first, and then I had to go to thank you, and then eventually I was like, I really appreciate that because that means a lot to me. You know, that you would say that.
You know, the reframe for it, by the way, is. To realize that when unless somebody gives you a compliment in a manipulative way, there was somebody I saw last week who gave me a compliment who was doing it because they wanted something from me, and I could tell, mm-hmm. right? I was like, "Oh, you're just messing with me." Mm-hmm. It was a guy actually, and he was trying to get something from me business wise, and I was like, "You're just messing with me." But generally, when I say somebody, a good friend of mine, really, this really very handsome, very smart guy, and
I'm right here, dude.
Not you. He's taller. He's taller than you and has more hair.
Okay, good.
But anyway, I would tell him, "Wow, man, you're really very, very smart. You're one of the smartest people I know. You're way smarter than I am." And he's like, "But I'm like, here's the deal." And his name is Steven. And I would say, "Steven, here's the problem. My reality right now is that you're intelligent. You've done something to show me that you're very, very smart and that I appreciate that. And I'm giving you a compliment based on that. And by saying blah, 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 and denying that, you're being an asshole." And I'm totally serious.
I know.
If somebody gives you a compliment and you deflect it, you're being an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
The only proper response when someone gives you a compliment is say thank you very much. Because their reality at that moment, assuming the compliment is sincere, is that it's true, that you're handsome, that you're beautiful, that you're interesting, kind, whatever it is. And by denying it, you're being an asshole.
I think that a lot of guys, and women too, will mm-hmm. deny that not because, you know, maybe they do want to believe it, but I think most of the time they deny it because they're afraid that they can't tell the difference between someone who's manipulating them.
Oh, very
and
much
someone
so.
Someone who isn't,
yeah.
you know? Mm-hmm. And I think, and that was, again, that was huge for me. And like you said, you can tell the difference.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so for you, when you're being sincere, which you always are, I've never heard you say anything insincere. You're very, very straightforward.
You have heard me say, well, you've heard me say things that are extremely sarcastic.
Right, but that's not, you're sincerely an asshole when you do that.
Exactly. I'm having fun at that point.
So, but ultimately though, I mean, you come out, you're very straightforward about it, you come out, you know, what about someone who can't tell the difference? How, you know, I mean, what if they can't tell? What if they're like wondering, what if this person's for real or not? You know, what would, you know, again, I know you're not like claiming to be an expert on
this, but you do know a lot about it. Though. I think about this stuff a lot because my own story has a lot of self-esteem issues and a mm-hmm. lot of like, I could talk about my own path to becoming who I am today for hours if we really wanted to, mm-hmm. But I don't think we do. But the main thing is like when somebody, it doesn't really matter if they're sincere.
Yeah.
Here's the weird thing. It's not about you.
Mm-hmm.
it's not about you as who you are as a person. It's not about the inner you. I don't believe in the concept of the soul, but if you know, it's not about that core of who you are. Mm-hmm. It's about their interpretation of you. And if right. somebody says you're really beautiful, yeah, you might say, you just say thank you. And it doesn't really, are they trying to manipulate you? Are they trying to say it sincerely? You make a decision about it, but it shouldn't really change. If you already know who you are, mm-hmm. if you already like yourself, right? Mm-hmm. If you already look at yourself and say, like me personally, I'm like, you know, I'm better looking than most people. I'm smarter than most people. I could lose a few pounds and I'm covered in fur, right? These are all true things, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm not saying that out of egotism. Mm-hmm. I'm saying that out of the fact that I have worked on myself to get to know myself enough to know what I personally think of myself. So when somebody else says something, like when Rachel Ray says, oh, you're such a handsome man, right? Mm-hmm. I can say, well, thank you. I appreciate that. It doesn't really change my own interpretation of myself. So it doesn't really matter why she said it.
Right, right.
Right.
I think that a lot of guys, including myself, got wrapped up in the idea of, well, this is sort of age-old psychological concept that it's happening under the surface called reciprocity.
Yep, of course, yep.
Where we believe that when someone gives us something, a gift, let's say, and it truly is a gift, though, to get a compliment. It really is a gift. Mm-hmm. That if they're giving the gift is sincere, we accept the gift, we feel a need to give something back. And I believe that most people will reject those compliments because they're afraid they can't give anything back, you know, mm-hmm. or if they do, it'll seem contrived.
But receiving a compliment mm-hmm. is a gift,
right?
Yes. Receiving it without being a dick about it mm-hmm. is giving someone else a dick. Excuse me.
I'm not editing that out, by the way.
keep it. It's fine. Is giving someone else a gift. You're giving right. them the gift of receiving what they're giving you.
Right.
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 And it, you know, it's really fun. Once you get through this, you actually become much more capable of giving compliments to people.
Right.
Right. You can walk up to a woman and say, you're really beautiful. Like I do this all the time. I'll tell women I think they're really beautiful. I have a girlfriend. I'm not trying to pick them up.
Right.
Right. Sometimes they think I am, and I have to be like, no, seriously, I just really thought you looked great. Appreciate it. Thank
right.
you.
Well, I mean, even whenever I was single too, and I would walk up, I had this thing that I think really blew a lot of guys' minds whenever they'd see it. So they'd see me, but they wouldn't hear what I was saying because they were watching from a distance. I used to do a lot of demonstrations in field where I'd go out and I'd show a guy what to do, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's when I was single, of course.
I love. We both have to do that all the time.
Yeah, we do because it's like on the off
chance. We're both like crazily in love with our girlfriends, right? So it's like, and my girlfriend the other day was like, so how many women have you actually slept with? I'm like, more than you.
Yeah, more women than you have.
Yeah, definitely more women than she has. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say specific things, and I would get really strange results. So they'd see me walk up, I'd talk for 5 minutes, and then a girl would take my hand and put it up her shirt and make me feel her tits. And I'm laughing, you know? And I'd walk back and they'd go, what in the hell just happened? Like, it's completely mind-blowing.
Yeah,
and I was
I
told her she had great tits, you know? and it just, most guys can't do that because they want something. Like, those are great tits. I want those tits.
And the neediness comes out, right? It's the difference between saying, those are great tits versus those are great tits.
Those are really nice tits. Those are really good. Are this real?
I'm like, you know? while you're scratching at your stomach the entire time. It's like, yeah, you've got great tits. That's awesome. Thank you. Thank you for having such great tits. I appreciate it.
Yeah, exactly. We appreciate that. The men do.
Yep. Yeah. We're really happy about it.
Yeah. I mean, I really appreciate you taking the time here to talk to me about this, Michael, because we've talked about stuff here that I've never talked about on an interview, which is great. Stuff that a lot of guys have asked me a lot about, especially the sex, a lot of stuff about sex during this interview and just sort of
sex.
And the different mindsets that will actually make us very powerful in bed, as well as how to get a woman into bed through not even seeing her face to face. Because texting is beautiful because you have all the time in the world to respond. You know, a girl asks you a question.
It's remote control seduction.
It is.
It's like if you got an iPhone, you know how you play games on your iPhone?
Right.
This is the best game ever because it involves you getting laid at the end.
It's like a first-person shooter.
It's a first-person shooter that gets you laid.
First-person rooter.
I'm gonna call up Eidos and pitch them on a first-person shooter that gets you laid because that'd be pretty awesome, don't you think? It'd be like Leisure Suit Larry for the new age.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Leisure Suit Larry. Goodness gracious. That's dating you right there.
But I think, Josh, the main thing here, I think if you, we talked for a while, right? People come on this interview, they're like, we're going to hear about texting. It's more than texting, right? The texting is the expression of it. It's the tool that we use to aim these ideas at women in a way that attracts them like bees to honey. Because most women are, I sell products to women, and I have a whole business built around women as well, and I talk to them all the time and how frustrated they are by guys who are douchebags, right? And by douchebag, I mean guys who don't own their desires, who are lying about them, what they want all the time, who are manipulating women. I don't manipulate women. I never have, right? Instead, what I teach guys to do is to own your desires in a way and put them out there in a way that women are just like, that's so awesome. Right. I'm so glad you, like, oh. And once when you start doing that, women start understanding you. And as opposed to being freaked out by what guys want, because I think all guys are afraid, oh man, if you knew what was going on in my head, you'd run the other way.
Right. Women are thinking the same thing.
Oh, they, of course they are, yes. Mm-hmm. But you know, if you, once you change your mindset a little bit, women are just like, oh, that's really, I want you. I see you as a sexual being. And it gets really cool.
Right.
It's fun stuff.
Well, where I'm going to go ahead and put a link below this interview to go ahead and check some stuff out. I'd like to put a link to two things, if you're okay with that.
Sure, go for it.
One, I'd like to – do you have any sort of free information around texting that you can give the guys?
Yeah, well, a couple different things. I have a couple different sites that you can go to. If you go to textyourwifeintobed.com, when you go to leave that site, there's a report called the Three Magic Texts Report that you can get. And that report teaches you a little sequence of texts you can send to a woman that works really, really well, just the start.
Okay.
And then you can also go to texttheromanceback.com. That's my romance site, but romance is a little bit of a euphemism. Right. And it's... there's a lot of information there about relationships and psychology and things like that as well.
Right. And then you also have a I'm not sure if you have any free information yet about oral fixation.
You know, we do have – if you go to that particular site, we do have a free audio that we give away.
That would be fantastic, actually.
Yes. And that is an interview I did with a friend of mine, our blowjobs. Part of the program that we give away that we sell for How to Get Head is interviews with women around blowjobs.
Right.
How cool is that? And having them be really raw and open. And let me tell you, doing those interviews was awesome. And if I was single when I was doing them, the fun I would have had. but that's okay.
You're going to have to pass that fun off to all of the people who actually get their hands on the product.
I actually do that now. Like, I'll go out with friends and I'll pick up girls for them.
Just to live vicariously.
Like, well, I'm not going to do anything about it, but here's what I go. It's like, oh, blah, blah. Yeah, here's my friend. Go ahead.
Best friend ever is what we call you, Michael.
Best friend ever.
Cool. So why don't I go ahead and put a couple of links below this interview here. For the guys to be able to click on and check that out. One, to text your wife into bed, which sounds like, take these concepts, use them if you're not in a relationship, use them to text women you've just met into being absolutely aroused. And then, I'll put another one as well for the oral fixation thing. So when you do get her into bed, you can really bring out these massive desires, not just for oral sex, but also for any kind of sex, any kind of kinky fantasy that you may have that you really want to do to sort of explore, in your relationship.
Also, the video that you can see when you follow the link for howtogethead.com is one of my favorite things I've ever done. So I think you'll enjoy it a lot.
Oh, cool. All right.
Yeah.
Sounds like something you'd enjoy.
Yes. It's a fun video. So there you
go. Well, thank you so much, Michael. I really appreciate
you
taking the
time
to talk to us. Man,
no problem, that's been awesome,
and we'll talk to you soon. Hopefully we'll get another time here when hopefully you'll be creating some new beautiful amazing stuff like you currently are.
I'm working on I got two new products for women coming out pretty soon, and then I'm going to do something around a lot of what we talked about today for men, more of the sexual psychology
that
stuff
would be
men.
Awesome that
if it sounds like something you I mean actually guys who are listening, write Josh and let him know if you want more of this kind of stuff around the building up your own sexual self-esteem and sexual psychology of women and things like that, because I could write about that all day. So
that would be fantastic, because I know that I really love stuff like that. I've read volumes on that. I still learn new stuff in everyone's style and everyone's teaching, and I'm still not a master. So I love stuff like that. Absolutely.
I'm gonna keep myself from making the masturbator.
Thank you for that. But you referenced it, and therefore
I did. Made I the did. Joke. It's the making the joke by not making the joke. Exactly. Very, very advanced. Very advanced.
It is. That's hidden twice there. Again, Michael Fiore, thank you so much for your time, brother, and I appreciate it. And we'll see you on here another call, hopefully soon, so we can get more brilliant tidbits out of your brain and into ours.
You're very welcome. Thanks a lot, Josh. Bye-bye. All right.